So once again, welcome to Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call. It gives me immense pleasure to introduce our today's speaker, His Grace Chakravarti Prabhuji. And Prabhuji would be enlightening us by walking us through Srimad Bhagavatam 4.12.1 onwards. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, are you there on the call?
Hare Krishna Madhuri, Dandavat Pranam. Hare
Krishna Prabhuji. Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Dhanvat Pranam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much for giving us your valuable time and association this morning. I would like to hand over the call to you now. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So we're discussing from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 12, chapter entitled Dhruva Maharaj Goes Back to Godhead, and verse 11 onwards.
सर्वात्मनि अच्युते सर्वे तीव्रोघां भक्तिमुद्वहन् ददर्शात्मनि भूतेषु तम् एव अवस्थितं विभुम्.
वर्ड टू वर्ड मीनिंग सर्व आत्मनि अंटु द सुपर सोल अच्युत इनफैलिबल असर्वे विदाउट एनी लिमिट तीव्र ओघां विथ अनरिलेंटिंग फोर्स Bhaktim, devotional service, Udvahan, rendering, Dadarsha, he saw, Atmani, in the Supreme Spirit, Bhuteshu, in all living entities, Tam, him, Eva, only, Avastitam, situated, Vibhum, all-powerful. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace is Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Dhruva Maharaj rendered devotional service unto the Supreme, the reservoir of everything, with unrelenting force. While carrying out his devotional service to the Lord, he could see that everything is situated in him only, and that he is situated in all living entities. The Lord is called Achyuta because he never fails in his prime duty to give protection to his devotees. Purport. Not only did Dhruva Maharaj perform many sacrifices, but he carried on his transcendental occupation of engagement in the devotional service of the Lord. The ordinary karmis who want to enjoy the results of fruitive activities are concerned only with sacrifices and ritualistic ceremonies as enjoined in the Vedic Shastras. Although Dhruva Maharaj performed many sacrifices in order to be an exemplary king, he was constantly engaged in devotional service. The Lord always protects his surrendered devotee. A devotee can see that Lord is situated in everyone's heart. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Ishvara Sarvabhudanam Riddeshe Arjuna Tishthati. Ordinary persons cannot understand how the Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart. But a devotee can actually see him. Not only can the devotee see him outwardly, but he can see with spiritual vision that everything is resting in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as described in Bhagavad Gita, Masthani Sarvabhutani. That is the vision of a Mahabhagavat. He sees everything others see, but instead of seeing merely the trees, the mountains, the cities, or the sky, he sees only his worshipable Supreme Personality of Godhead in everything, because everything is resting in Him only. This is the vision of the Mahabhagavat. In summary, a Mahabhagavat, a highly elevated pure devotee, sees the Lord everywhere as well as within the heart of everyone. This is possible for devotees who have developed elevated devotional service to the Lord. As stated in Brahma Samhita, Premanjana Achurita Bhakti Vilochanena. Only those who have smeared their eyes with the ointment of love of Godhead can see everywhere the Supreme Lord face to face. It is not possible by imagination or so-called meditation. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Jena Tasme Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Mayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Padamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsha.
श्रीरूपं सागरजातं सहगना रघुनाथाम्बितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपदां सहगना ललिता श्रीविशाखाम्बितं च नमः विष्णुपादाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात देश तारिणे नमो महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदाय दे कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नामिने गौरतुषे नमः। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीन बंधु जगतपते कोपेश कोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमस्ते सप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिय वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यः च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। Hare Krishna. So before we start discussion, I would seek blessings of all of you, and especially His Grace Gokuleshwar Prabhu. I didn't know that he is on the call. He is one of my Shiksha Guru, who has trained me in last 9 years in Juhu Temple, and continue to train me further, and give me guidance in every aspect of Krishna consciousness. So I seek His blessings, special blessings, that He can bless and I can discuss this most highly elevated subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam. So, we saw in the previous chapter how Dhruva Maharaj becomes extremely angry because of his brother being killed by one Yaksha. And so Dhruva went to Yakshapuri to retaliate for his brother's death. And then he became very angry, and Swayambhuva Manu, his grandfather, he comes there and pacifies him. And then we discussed what wonderful Siddhanta or philosophy Swayambhuva Manu is presenting there. And Dhruva Maharaj accepted. As soon as he got pacified, his anger was subdued, Kuvera came. And Dhruva was instructed that you go and take, first seek blessing, seek forgiveness from Kuvera, because you have killed so many yakshas. He will be angry. And seek blessings. Then Dhruva Maharaj seeks forgiveness from Kuvera. Very important instruction here Kuvera is giving to Dhruva. I'll read few translations that are building up on discussion, and then we'll discuss today's verse. The first thing Kuvera is saying in the second text of this chapter, O sinless son of Kshatriya, that you are a sinless. One may think that Dhruva has killed so many people, you know, so many yakshas, but he is saying you are sinless. I am very glad to know that under the instruction of your grandfather, you gave up your enmity, although it is difficult, very difficult to avoid. I am pleased with you. We talk about tapasya, and there are different levels of tapasya. Tapasya with the body. We may fast on Ekadashi. Some devotees, they do Nirjal on Ekadashi, or they eat only once in Ekadashi. And other tapasyas they don't eat entire Chaturmas, they don't eat sweet. Someone doesn't eat sweet for entire Kartik month. Even though most of our Gaudiya Vaishnava festivals, they come in the month of Kartik and lot of feast, but still they give up. So that is one kind of tapasya. Another is, so there is different bodily tapasya. Now, there is tapasya at the level of mind also. Going against the will of the mind, going against the urges. which are very natural for a conditioned soul. As Srila Rupa Goswami says, Vacho Vegam Manasa Krodha Vegam Jiva Vegam Udara Upastha Vegam. These are very natural for a conditioned soul, these vegas, these urges. But to control over them, to conquer over them, is something which is a big tapasya. It's not an ordinary austerity. Someone may regularly, every day wake up, early in the morning, Brahma Murat, attend Mangal Arati, chant his round very sincerely, attentively. But still we may see that he may be trapped in these urges. So, if a conditioned soul is practicing Krishna consciousness, gradually he is getting purified and he will come out of this. But the question is, when we are affected with anarthas or these urges, how do we deal with it? And this is one example of Dhruva Maharaj, another example of Prithu Maharaj. Very wonderful examples. Here Dhruva Maharaj became extremely angry. He was very angry. But when his grandfather, kind of his authority or his well-wisher, came and explained to Dhruva that you are unnecessarily angry. You killed some yakshas, okay, finish it off. Now it's not that you will kill all the yakshas. So now imagine the situation of Dhruva, who was so angry and fit of rage, and that's how he can kill. That time someone comes to us when we are extremely angry, some senior devotee, some well-wisher is coming to us and saying, give up the anger. If someone can give it up, and that's why the first thing our Kubera is telling to Dhruva, it is very difficult to avoid, but still you gave up. Still you gave up. That is glorified. And that's why he was pleased. So if we are affected with anarthas, that's a part of process. Someone who's not completely pure, he will be affected by anarthas. The due course of journey, but how do we deal with it? Even if we get diseased, we take medicine and cure it. Similarly, Prithu Maharaj, he was angry on Indra because Indra was again and again taking the horse which was meant for sacrifice. And already 99 sacrifices he performed, that was the 100. But Indra was stealing the horse. So he was angry and Prithu Maharaj wanted to get up from the yajna and kill Indra himself. The Brahmana sitting there, they told to Prithu Maharaj that because you have taken a vow to complete this sacrifice, you should not get into violence. It will spoil the purpose. And why you have to get up? We are there, we'll just do some mantra, we'll put some mantra, we'll chant mantras, we'll give some ahuti. And Indra will come here, in this yajna, in this fire, he'll be burnt. We'll kill him. That time Brahma comes and he explains to Prithu Maharaj that give up performing this last yajna. Again, like Dhruva, Prithu Maharaj, they are exalted devotees, but they are teaching us from their own example. That how, even if we are affected, but if some senior comes, who is our well-wisher, and Vaishnavas are well-wishers. All the Vaishnavas who are practicing Krishna consciousness, whatever level they may be, they are our well-wishers. If we can control, that is the biggest austerity. And this control is only possible when we are sincere in our sadhana. So we can control this. And then in the next verse, Kubera is saying, although you have not killed the yakshas, Now he's talking the similar philosophy. The Swayambhu Manu came and he gave the philosophy that Krishna is the ultimate doer. Here Kubera is saying, you have not killed the Yakshas, nor they have killed your brother. For the ultimate cause of generation and annihilation is the eternal time feature of the Supreme Lord. It is Kala who is doing everything. So he is not to be considered doer. And then he talks about similar philosophy, the misidentification, the false ego, I, me and mine. And then he gives, he tells Dhruva that you ask blessings. And Dhruva asks, as a devotee, he said, I just want a blessing from you that I should always remember the Supreme Lord, the lotus feet of my masters. Kubera also knew that at the age of 5, Dhruva did such a austerity, such practice of devotional service that Lord Vishnu is standing in front of him. So then after getting these blessings, Dhruva Maharaj comes home. And in yesterday's words, it is mentioned that as long as he remained at home, Dhruva Maharaj performed many great ceremonial sacrifices in order to please the enjoyer of all sacrifice. The Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prescribed ceremonial sacrifices are specially meant to please Vishnu, who is the object of all sacrifice. And then Prabhupada explains very wonderfully this, how everything should be done for the pleasure of Lord. And then we come to today's verse, where it is said that Dhruva Maharaj rendered devotional service. And Prabhupada in the first line of purport he writes, not only Dhruva performed many sacrifices, but he carried the transcendental occupation of devotional service. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains in this context that there was no time for Dhruva Maharaj to do or to perform these yajnas or sacrifices because he was always engaged in devotional service. And then Prabhupada in the entire purport talks about devotional service. Because one who is practicing devotional service, it is not required, not needed for him to perform any yajna separate. Krishna bhakti kaila sarva karma kritahaya. One who performs Krishna bhakti, loving devotional service to Supreme Lord Krishna, he has done everything. Nothing else is remaining for him to do. Actually, bhakti in itself is not like we see yajna or sacrifice if we take. If someone wants to perform sacrifice, there is some preparation, some brahmanas are needed, some material is required, a guest and everything, all things are prepared, the yajna is performed, all the guests are given sumptuous prasadam and then some donation and then brahmanas are served and everything goes and for this sacrifice is over. Lord is pleased, if it is successful, Lord is pleased, devatas are pleased, everything is done. Now what? Now the fruits will come and then we'll do something else. So sacrifice is an activity which we do, which has a start and the end. But devotional service has no end. It is not that a few years or few days or few weeks we perform devotional service and then we will wait for the fruits to come so that we can enjoy. So devotional service is eternal. That's why Prabhupada says transcendental occupation. It's an eternal occupation of all the living entities. Whether we are here in ISKCON practicing sadhana bhakti among the association of devotees, and when we become perfect, whoever is fortunate, perfect his life here, they go to spiritual world. Do what? Perform devotional service in the association of devotees. So these two things are common. Association of devotees and practice of devotional service in association of devotees. And the object of love is the Supreme Lord, whether in material world or in spiritual world. So that's why Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says there was no time for Dhruva to perform other yajna because he was always engaged in devotional service. And that's why Prabhupada writes, the ordinary karmis who want to enjoy the result, they are concerned only with this ritualistic ceremony. Because one who is performing ritualistic ceremony, he is targeting the fruit of the ceremony. Whereas in devotional service, everything we only give, what we receive is transcendental happiness, and that transcendental happiness becomes impetus or further input for our devotional service. As it is said in the spiritual world, there is a competition between Lord and His devotees. Lord wants to serve His devotees, devotees want to serve the Lord. And there is a competition, and devotional service is increased. Then he says that while carrying out devotional service, he could see everything is situated in Krishna and Krishna is situated everywhere. Like in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is mentioned in this verse, Sthavara jangama dekhe na dekhtara murti sarvatra haya nija ishta deva spurti. Sthavara jangama dekhe. That means everyone, whether an ordinary person, he also sees sthavara and jangam. Power means moving objects, jangam means non-moving object. So sthavara jangam, they are seeing, but a Mahabhagavata devotee does not actually see that. What he sees Krishna. He is seeing Krishna and not the object itself. So how is it happen? Like if a Mahabhagavata devotee, suppose any pure devotee is there and he has to eat prasad, he has to wear clothes, he has to sit on chair or sit on Vyasasana and give Bhagavatam. So how he sees Krishna everywhere? So if a pure devotee sees Krishna everywhere, then he will see Krishna in the chair also. How can he sit? How can he walk? How can he eat if he is seeing Krishna everywhere? So Krishna is everywhere. Whether one sees or not, Lord Krishna is in every atom of the creation. So how a pure devotee sees that? So this question was asked to Prabhupada once, and Srila Prabhupada said that pure devotee sees every object and then he sees every object to be worshipped or to be used, not worshipped, sorry, to be used in service of Krishna. That is how he sees the service. Even though Krishna is present everywhere, but he sees every object, how this is connected to Krishna. How this is energy of Krishna, which is not separate. Like once Srila Prabhupada, he landed in America, and he was traveling all over the world, so he landed in one of the cities in America, came out of the airport, and devotees were there to receive him with Harinam, and always reporters were there, as always. You see many of the places when Srila Prabhupada will come out of the airport, there will be some reporters and Prabhupada will give a small talk to media. So one reporter, young reporter, she asked Prabhupada that, what do you think about, what is your opinion about technology? Prabhupada said technology is useless. Prabhupada said technology is useless, and this reporter was shocked. Okay, if you are saying useless, how come you are using this aeroplane and coming to this city? Prabhupada said, I am making it useful by using this object in Krishna's service. So until unless we train our consciousness to see everything in connection with Krishna, that vision will not come to see Krishna everywhere. So it's a training. Like a small child, he starts going to school. That's the first year, first month, first week, or first day he's gone to school. So the first time he's actually separated whole day kind of few hours from his mother. But his mother is now, you know, cleaning the house and everything, and sees some clothes, some toys, shoes are lying here and there, which belongs to her child who has gone to school. So how she sees everything in connection with that child, and actually she is the child. She remembers the child. So every object in the material world, when seeing in connection with Krishna, then we can see, we can train our consciousness to see Krishna everywhere. And then it's mentioned about Brahma Samhita. Going to the next verse, 12. Because this is the first verse, this is the purport mentioned. So I'll just now move to verse number 12. Tam evam shila sampannam brahmanyam dinavatsalam goptaram dharma setuna menire pitaram prajaha. Dhruva Maharaj was endowed with all godly qualities. He was very respectful to the devotees of the Supreme Lord and very kind to the poor and innocent. And he protected religious principles. With all these qualifications, he was considered to be direct father of all citizens. That means all the citizens were actually able to see Dhruva Maharaj as their father, because he was taking their care in terms of material and spiritual needs. Who all? Even poor and innocent. And how could Dhruva Maharaj do? It's mentioned in this verse, because of his godly qualities. The one who is able to see Krishna everywhere, one who has come to that level, he definitely will have these godly qualities. If he is seeing Krishna everywhere, then he will not see the difference whether one is rich or poor, one is fit or unfit. Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, they didn't see who deserves or does not deserve. Patra apatra dekhina. But they distributed this love of Godhead, this process, by chanting and dancing to everyone. Similarly, his devotees are like that. They do not differentiate. So in Lilamrita, when pastime comes, in practically every pastime, when so Satsarup Maharaj writes that when Prabhupada would meet the reporters, Prabhupada is not just seeing them media people, or he will meet scientists. He is not seeing them just scientists or media people and through them try to give message to public. If the reporter is coming, whatever interview we give, that reporter will publish in the newspaper, and then our message will reach to the mass. But Prabhupada was actually interested in delivering or in helping that reporter also to become Krishna conscious. That reporter will definitely write an article and will be read by many people. But what about delivering this reporter? So he was interested in that also. And that's what it is said. And that's why the word uses, it was a father. Pitaram Praja. Dhruva Maharaj was the father for all the residents or the subjects. And in the entire purport, Prabhupada is taking different words and explaining in today's scenario that not only a king, but also the leaders of modern democratic or impersonal government must be qualified with all these godly characteristics. And the entire purport is talking how in today's situation, in today's situation, nobody who's sitting in the government position or in the leader's position has these godly qualities. And they don't have. So what to talk about being father to the public, they're actually exploiting. Everywhere. And that's why Srila Prabhupada once he mentioned that we should never trust one who's not a devotee. Because one who's not a devotee, his mind is completely out of control and he cannot be trusted by any means. And even Bhagavatam says, Harava Bhaktam Kuto Mahadguna. Where is the question of having any good qualities in the person who's not devotee of the Lord? And one who's devotee, Yasyasi Bhakti Bhagavati Akinchana, one who's engaged in Krishna's service, one who's a devotee, all the godly qualities will manifest in him. Today nobody is there. It is the duty of the king of that land or region that he should spread dharma. He should help, not only help, he should spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, or at least all over his region, area, whatever area he has. Like Yudhishthira Maharaj is spreading Krishna consciousness everywhere. But now what to talk about spreading by government? Government is not even helping the people or the devotees who are spreading Krishna consciousness. Not only they are not helping, they are disturbing, they are stopping the activities of devotees. The situation in last 50 years has degraded. 50 years back also devotees were getting some trouble in preaching, but now the trouble has increased. There are more obstacles now, more struggle to preach. So not only the government is not helping, but they are creating hurdles so that this Krishna consciousness movement cannot expand because of their own demoniac nature. So how can, like in this verse, in the 12th verse, it is said, Dina Vatsal. Dhruva was Dina Vatsal. He was Vatsal, very kind to the poor people. So how can we say today's government or king is a Dina Vatsal? Sometimes we see, even in the family of the king in modern day, they themselves have fight. They kill each other. So, it is difficult to preach. But devotees who have taste of Krishna consciousness, many devotees all over the world, they're struggling. The more the obstacles, the more their determination increases to preach Krishna consciousness. By using different ways, different means, by using different technologies, it's going. Now this is what Prabhupada is talking about, the global leader or a national leader. What about the individual leader? There may be in a family, a father or mother, they are also leaders. A father is a leader. He is head of the family for his wife, for children. And mother is also leader for children. So at an individual level also, everyone is a small leader. Whoever is preaching Krishna consciousness, he will have definitely one or two people whom is he or she cultivating. So then, what is their responsibility? So there were discussion going on in today. We had a class by His Holiness Prabodhananda Saraswati Maharaj, and he was saying how we should be exemplary, then it will have impact. Then our vani will have potency. So even a small individual leader, which everyone almost is in ISKCON, because everyone kind of preacher, and some dependent on him. How that devotee should have these qualities? Goptaram, the protector, or Dharma Setunam, the protector of the religious principle, or Pitaram, the fatherly figure or motherly figure. So these qualities should be exhibited. And to exhibit these qualities, we see in this case of Dhruva Maharaj, he didn't go at the age of 5 to some school to learn these qualities. And this verse of Bhagavatam, Yasyasti Bhakti Bhagavati Akinchana, that one who performs devotional service, all these godly qualities, they manifest in him. So there was a discussion regarding prasadam, and I think we discussed also. And how Srila Prabhupada always wanted the high class consciousness of the cooks. He started the entire movement with prasadam and holy name. So it is dependent on the cooks. So the devotee who is cooking for other devotees, he is also a leader. What kind of consciousness he manifests when he is cooking? So when I was reading this purport, I thought that everyone is an individual, and what is, I was thinking what kind of connection this purport or this verse may have for an individual. Then I realized every individual is a devotee, every individual is a leader, every devotee is a leader. And if we don't become a good leader, then by default we'll be a bad leader. If I'm not able to exhibit the exemplary behavior, then it will be opposite. There is nothing in between. If I am preaching to some students, and then in the morning everyone is chanting and I am sitting with them and I am sleeping in entire chanting, I cannot give Bhagavatam class on chanting after this kind of session. I will speak, I may speak, but there will be no potency and there will be no transformation. So it is not that Dhruva Maharaj himself didn't behave exemplary, and he was just giving the message. Rather, all these devotees, Yudhishthira Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj, they, with their own behavior, they preached. As mentioned in the scripture, the best devotee is one who preaches the principles of religion, not by speaking, but by his own behavior. If one is behaving in that way, he does not have to speak also. No, people will know. And that's why today, Maharaj was telling how Srila Prabhupada's disciples, they may forget everything, anything, they may leave anything. Sometimes we have seen devotees leaving. But whatever may be the situation, till their last breath, they are not able to forget Srila Prabhupada. We have heard few devotees who left Krishna consciousness, even when Prabhupada was there. But while leaving their body, they could only see Prabhupada, nothing else. It's not Prabhupada. Yes, definitely Prabhupada's classes are there. But the behavior of Prabhupada, the love, the compassion which they felt coming from Srila Prabhupada. And they couldn't forget him. They couldn't, you know, even at the time of leaving body, we have heard some devotees who left Krishna consciousness long, long back, but they could remember Prabhupada. One such devotee, he was at home and he told his mother that, you know, I left everything, but now at this time when I'm leaving my body, I could see Srila Prabhupada has come to take me. So they couldn't forget. This is the impact of preaching by behavior. The preaching by class may or may not impact, depend on the preacher, but behavior will definitely have a very deep impact on the consciousness of the people who are around him. Like if Dhruva Maharaj, he subdued his anger or he conquered on his anger when he heard from Swayambhu Manu. He conquered his anger. So that means he exhibited the character that I follow senior. I am following what my senior is saying. I am following what scriptures are saying, because Swayambhu Manu was quoting from scriptures. So that means I am following Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. And then when he comes home and rules for 36,000 years as a king, he can tell people that follow Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. In the morning Bhagavatam in our temple, we are now discussing 9th canto, Lord Ramchandra's pastime. And today's verse was how Lord Ramchandra heard from this washerman discussing with his wife and accusing kind of indirectly Sita, Mother Sita. And Lord Ram called Lakshman, Bharat and Shatrughna, and he said that, you know, I have already abandoned Sita. You just take her to the ashram of Valmiki. So it was such a high standard of living that time, the moral principle, that Lord Ram sacrificed the most beloved person. To Lord Ram was Mother Sita, and he sacrificed to exhibit this exemplary behavior. And he told to Lakshman, that Lakshman, not only Sita, if any one of you three brothers also come in between my Raj Dharma, the duty as a king, I will sacrifice all of you. So personal sacrifice for uplifting the principles of religion is exemplary behavior. This is the greatest austerity one can perform to please the Supreme Lord. It's very tough. We get attached to non-living objects, the facilities, the comfort. It's difficult for us to give it up. We get attached to the followers, to the fame we are getting, to the name we are getting, to the glories our followers are singing. It's difficult to give it. And that is where we will show the one of the qualities of Krishna, Shadeshwarya, out of 6 opulences, one of the opulences is renunciation. So renouncing even the most beloved object to exhibit the higher principle, a principle of religion, is difficult. And that's what these devotees whose names are mentioned everywhere in Srimad Bhagavatam, they have done. For Maharaj Yudhishthira, it was difficult for to accept kingdom also. He never wanted fight. Somehow, okay, he fought, Krishna wanted, but what after the fight? After the war was over, he was not pacified. Not even Krishna. Even Krishna tried. Obviously, Krishna, if Krishna wanted, he would have pacified Yudhishthira, but Krishna wanted Bhishma to be glorified. So Krishna took all the Pandavas to Bhishma. So then Yudhishthira accepted the kingdom also to please the Lord. And he gave up. How can we be sure that he accepted this position of king of the entire world on behalf of Krishna, Narapati, a representative of Krishna? But as soon as Krishna left this planet, Arjuna came back. It mentioned in first canto. Arjuna comes back. And Yudhishthira, before Arjuna came back, Yudhishthira could see some bad omen. And as soon as Arjuna confirmed that our most beloved Lord Shri Krishna has departed from this planet, without any discussion, without anything, Yudhishthira started walking towards the north, changed his clothes, gave the kingdom to Parikshit, started walking. All the four brothers started walking behind him, and even the wife Draupadi started walking. That was Yukta Vairagya. This is a very important quality of detachment of all, many godly qualities. But until and unless we are detached, how can we exhibit other qualities? Scripture is talking about detachment. I'll give this last story and then we'll stop. We'll take some questions. This is a very famous story that one mother takes her son, young son, to one sadhu, and she requests the sadhu that please bless my son or instruct my son so that he will not eat sweet. So then the sadhu said, I will not instruct now. You bring your son after 7 days, then I will instruct. The mother was a little perplexed. Why to go? So far I have to go to village, take a city bus, go there, take rickshaw and all that. Anyways, it's a big hassle, but now this sadhu is not giving instruction. She goes back, comes after 7 days. And what this sadhu has to say? He told, my dear son, please give up sweets. And he said, okay. Mother said, you would have said the same instruction last week. Why I have to go back to my home and again come here after 7 days? So this saintly person, he said, because last week I was also eating sweet. So from last 7 days I gave up sweet. Now I have the potency to say to your child that give up sweet and he will follow. If I am eating sweet, and I'll tell someone else to give up sweet, he'll not be able to follow. There's no transformation. This is a personal example which will give us potency and which will also help other person to transform, which is manifested in every incident, in every we see in every pastime of Srila Prabhupada. When Srila Prabhupada was in his last days before he departed from this planet, so devotees asked, who will be the next Acharya? Even though Prabhupada formed GBC, but who will be your successor kind of thing? Prabhupada said, whoever follow me he will become my successor. Prabhupada also detached. He said, whoever follows, whoever is sincere, they'll take up, they'll push on the moment. The Prabhupada could say, because Prabhupada was completely dependent on Krishna. And because he was dependent on Krishna, he could easily tell his disciples that you all become dependent on Krishna. This is how these great personalities have exhibited these godly qualities. And until and unless this quality of detachment is there, one cannot become father. He cannot be fatherly because he will be attached to his own enjoyment. How can he think about the people, the public? For the king, for the leader, he cannot think about the public if he is attached to his own enjoyment. So I think we'll stop here. If there is any question or comment, then we can take. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you so much for a nice class, Prabhu. One question I have is about how we heard in the verse, and you also mentioned that Dhruva was seeing Krishna in everyone. Obviously, converse is also true, but at least Krishna in everyone. So, and Prabhupada clearly says that that can be done only with elevated devotion, not by any kind of meditation. I forgot the second word, meditation or remembering, I think. Remembering. That's what Prabhupada mentions that. But now we also know that while we are cultivating our devotion through sadhana, bhakti that we are doing now, then we also need to practice it. So, two questions based on this, Prabhu. One is that can we still practice, or Prabhupada is indicating that by remembering and meditating we cannot get there unless we do, our devotion really improves?
Prabhupada uses the word imagination. No imagination, no meditation.
Oh, imagination, meditation. Thank you, Prabhupada.
So if you mean practice means imagination, then Prabhupada already told us not to do.
Correct, yes, yeah.
So what practice is?
Yeah, that is the question, Prabhu. Yeah, how can we practice seeing Krishna and everyone?
Okay, so I'll reply to this and then we'll take another question. If you see the verse, this Brahma Samhita verse which is quoted by Prabhupada here, Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena Santa Sadeva Ridayeshu Vilokayanti. The second line says Santa Sadeva Ridayeshu Vilokayanti. That Santa, that means sages or a saintly person or a devotee, exalted devotee, Sadeva, always in his heart is able to see Krishna. So this is the second line. What is the first line? Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochana. One whose eyes are smeared with love of God. So what we are focusing, especially in this modern age, we have a tendency to focus on the result rather than the act. So this is a result that how we can see Krishna everywhere. This is not the action. The resultant of something what we do, and result is not in our hand. Like Krishna says, very famous verse of Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada has quoted 1,000 times, 10.10. Of this, Bhajatam Priti Purvakam. I forgot the first time. Satatam. This Bhajatam Priti Purvakam, this verse, Krishna is saying that you do your job. Tesham Satata Yuktanam. What you do, Satatam Yuktanam. Always remember me. And how? Priti Purvakam. Now, Bhajatam does not only mean bhajan, it is coming from Bhajadatu, which means devotional service. That's why Prabhupada says bhakti is not devotion, it is devotional service. Because bhakti word also comes from the root dhatu, root word of bhajan, bhaja, which is practical service. So Krishna is telling us that tesham sata devatanam bhajatam priti purvakam. You do this part. Then what I will do? Dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayandita. That is my part. Krishna is telling to all of us, you do your part, and then I will do my part. And then in the next verse, Krishna in advance is telling, Tesham evanu kampartham aham agyana jamtamaha nashyami atma bhavasto jnana deepena bhasvata. What I will do? I will give you intelligence by which you will come to me. This he told in 10.10 Bhagavad Gita. The next verse he is saying, someone may ask, how will I get intelligence? And we have heard, if the heart is contaminated, we will not be able to connect with Krishna. If the heart is contaminated, we will not get that intelligence. So Krishna is saying that I will do eva anukampartham. Anukampa, by my own mercy, by my compassion, aham ajnana jamtamah. I will personally remove all the obstacles, all the darkness or ignorance from your heart. How? Jnana deepena bhasvata. By the torch light of knowledge. Even in that verse, Krishna is again and again saying in other verses also, yogakshemam vahamyam, that I will protect whatever you have and I will give, I will provide whatever you lack. But what you have to do? Sattatam yuktanam. Same thing he is saying that. So it is not, this is the result. It is not our, it should not be our focus that I want to see Krishna everywhere. So there is a result. Until all that heart is purified, we cannot see Krishna everywhere. So what we have to do, I think a month or two back, we discussed that we don't cook. We don't cook anything. You can bring vegetables, spices, a ghee, and add, put in some vessel, and in the utensil, put on the fire, and fire will do the job. Like Krishna is telling in 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Aham Vaishvanara Bhutva, we just eat the food. Who is digesting the food? Krishna is digesting the food. And when the food is digested, energy is released, which is sent to entire body. So in every place it is mentioned, everywhere it is mentioned, we do our part. So our part is to do bhajan, is to practice Krishna consciousness. So that gradually our heart will be purified, then only we will become exalted and can see Krishna everywhere. Till that time, if you remember, I said that we have to practice seeing every object in connection to Krishna. That we can try. Because that is gross. If we see any gross object, we can at least meditate how this object can be used in Krishna's service. When Srila Prabhupada started this movement in 1966 in New York, so all these devotees, they were not even initiated, they were hippies. So somehow they had some affection for Prabhupada because of Prabhupada's nature and behavior. And they, when this matchless gift was taken on rent, 26 Second Avenue, these devotees only, they who are not devotees, they may not be, they might not be even chanting that time. They went outside, they thought, okay, Swamiji wants to, you know, organize classes here, 3 days in a week, Bhagavad Gita classes. People will come to attend his classes. This room should be nice. And they go out and they bring all Indian things. So some paintings. And that is where one person, one devotee, he brings a painting of Panchatattva. Prabhupada, where did you get? He said, I went and I asked if this painting is from India, and the person said, yes, the seller. And they brought. So they were trying to bring pleasure to Srila Prabhupada by bringing objects from India, Indian objects in the market of New York. So how they could connect? They didn't know who is Panchatattva. And Prabhupada was very happy to see that Panchatattva has arrived in our center. Prabhupada could see Panchatattva. They were not able to see Parshvatattva, but they could see that how this object or this photo or this decoration item, other things can be used in service to please Prabhupada. So if we see, if we practice and train our consciousness to see everything in connection to Krishna, which is Krishna has already told in Bhagavad Gita, Rasohamapsu Kaunteya, I am the taste of water, and Prabhupada tells in so many classes that you just, when you drink the water, if you think, if you train yourself that this taste which is coming from the water is Krishna himself, you become Krishna conscious. He goes to even say that even as the drunkard drinks the liquor and he thinks that this taste of liquor is Krishna, he'll become Krishna conscious. Everything belongs to Krishna. Now we have to train to connect. That practice we can do. And parallelly, we are anyways doing sadhana bhakti. By doing sadhana bhakti, gradually we will become purified. And then we can come. Because until unless premanjana surita will happen, santa sadeva hridayeshu vilavankayanti will not happen. The first thing has to happen first, and then next will happen. I hope this clarifies some.
Yes, Prabhu. Yeah, thank you so much, Prabhu. Can I rephrase it to confirm my understanding, Prabhu?
Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu. Yeah. So basically, first is, this is the result of practicing devotion service nicely. So if I practice devotion service and while practicing my devotional activities and also seeing all the objects, how I can use them in service of my spiritual master and Krishna, then that will automatically bring in this result that that is being described, how Krishna, Durga was able to see Krishna in everyone. That is one thing I understood, Prabhu. So my focus should be on the devotion service. And then I will get purified by Krishna's mercy, and then that's how I can see it. That's one thing I understood. And the second thing is, that means right now I should only focus on seeing objects, how they can be used in Krishna's service, but I should not artificially see how Krishna is there in everyone right now. You did not say this, but I'm inferring from it and confirming, Prabhu. Yeah.
Yes,
because I should only focus on objects. No, yeah.
You can see Krishna present in everyone. If you are seeing everything related to Krishna, that means every living object also is related to Krishna, no?
Yeah.
But don't get into imagination. Prabhupada is saying no imagination, no so-called meditation. Imagination will make us sahajya. You know sahajyas.
Yeah, I heard Prabhu, yes.
Krishna is here, Krishna is here. Are you able to see Krishna? For me, I am not even able to see Krishna in the temple. I am not even at that level where I see the deity of Radha Rasbihari, the most beloved deity of Srila Prabhupada. I am not able to see Krishna. I am just seeing the deity and good decoration, the jewelries and the clothes. If I am not at that level to see even deity as Krishna, how can I see Krishna everywhere? But by philosophical understanding, I am convinced that everything belongs to Krishna, and in every atom Krishna is residing, and in every living entity's heart Krishna is residing in Paramatma. I have no realization. That is a philosophical understanding. So I must now act accordingly, and gradually by chanting, reading, hearing, by service and by acting on the principle of scriptures, my heart will be purified. And then I will have realization that yes, Paramatma is there in everyone's heart.
Sure, Prabhu. Yeah, makes sense, Prabhu. Yeah. Thank you so much, Prabhu.
You have one more question? You had one more question?
Oh, no, Prabhu. Both of them are covered here only. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, perfect, Prabhu. Thank you so much, Prabhu.
Any other question?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dandavas. This is Damodar Anand Das from Bloomington, Illinois.
Hare Krishna, Damodar Anand, Prabhu, Dandavas Pranam.
Prabhuji, thank you very much for your time and your wonderful, full of knowledge lecture. Prabhuji, I really appreciate when, you know, the quotation of Prabhupada are given, you know, especially when he gives a very wise or witty answers. I mean, I know we have quotes of Srila Prabhupada and other things, but is there any place where you can find these specific, very witty answers that Prabhupada gives to reporters and many questions?
Yeah, you read Leela Amrit, you'll get all the answers.
It's all in there? Okay.
Yeah. Most of the things you'll get in Leela Amrit. Then you have this Harishwari Prabhu's diary, the 6 volumes, and you have morning walks, and then these are the things, proper conversations, room conversations with reporters. I would suggest, rather than taking just that part where Prabhupada is being witty, we should read everything. So then we'll understand the context and it will stick. So everywhere,
that is true, Prabhu. So I read so closely, but I don't find. I was thinking, you know, at one place where you could find all these. If there is any compilation, like I fully agree that we should read fully, not just the parts. But you know, sometimes we like something and we want to relish it more and use it in our teaching, like you just did very nicely. That was my wish. Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Any other question?
Are there any more questions for Prabhuji at this point?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Very, very beautiful class. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. And very nice. And you were talking about the austerities in the beginning of the class. It was very nice that you were telling, like, people try to do austerity in their own ways. Especially, you are giving the example of the Kartik Mass. I encouraged my husband to do it in that way. Just asked him, he loves very much sweet, and I asked him to stop that sweet in that whole month. When you were telling about that, I could remember that. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for such a sweet class, very instructive class, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for such a wonderful class today. It's always, your class is always very, very enlightening, so thank you so much for that. And we are very grateful to you, and we really look forward to having you again in future. If nobody else has any more questions for Prabhuji, we would like to end the call here.
Vancha kalpa rupasya kripa
sindhu sindhu veva cha patitana patitana veva kulu namo namo Vaishnava Vrinda ki
jai. Jai Sashina Bhagavan ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Jai Sashina Bhagavan ki jai.